Welcome to After Campfire, a podcast about being yourself and comfortable in who you truly are. So, why is the show called After Campfire? Well, everyone on this show has one thing in common. We all have a connection to the Southampton Fresh Air Home, a center for children with physical disabilities. At the beginning of each camp session, everyone comes together for campfire, a night where everyone is introduced to the people they'll be spending the next few weeks with, plus s'mores. Though they don't realize it yet, I know I didn't during my first campfire. That evening is the beginning of every person's journey to who they are now. When you're a person living with a physical disability, you often face many misconceptions about who you are, which can be tough at times. On this podcast, we have honest conversations about living with a disability from as many perspectives as possible. If you'd like to know more about the Fresh Air Home, there's a link in the podcast description. Otherwise, relax, and we hope you enjoy our show. On today's podcast, we have two SFA legends from 2005 who've come back together after 17 years to have an exhilarating trip down memory lane. We get the opportunity to see what chaos happened at camp back then, but fundamentally, we get to hear how much love they still have for SFA. These gents will later provide some excellent advice for any newcomer to camp, whether that be a camper or a staff member. This one truly made me feel like I was a kid again. So I hope you enjoy listening. All right, so welcome back to the After Campfire podcast. Today we have one that I've been really looking forward to for a while. It's kind of been a pipe dream of mine to have these two on a podcast together. And so we have Corey. Introduce yourself.
Hello, younger folks and older folks. My name's Corey Martin. I was a camper at SFA for 10 years. I started in 97. I ended in 06. And so many things have happened between those years and since then. Mm-hmm. But everything kind of comes back to camp. This place has helped me and so many other people figure out who they are. So to be here today talking to you guys and getting to share some experiences and some stories is very special. So thank you for having me.
David.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So my name is David Beasley. I was a counselor there, started as a counselor in 2005, but I took on many roles whilst I was at camp. 2005, my years were 2005, 2008, and 2009. 2005 was a counselor, then a lifeguard, but ultimately I think what I was mainly known as was housekeeping. That was my kind of monkey back then. And then back in 2008 and 2009, I went back and took over the kitchens and then became kind of Chef Dave and ran the kitchens for 2 years as well, which was an interesting experience.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot of good fun, actually. I mean, the housekeeping one, the housekeeping days, 2005 was like a real turning point for me. And like you said earlier, Corey, I can look back at my life and see a lot of things kind of emanated from that point. Mm-hmm. But 2008 and 2009, they were interesting 2 years, those 2 years. A lot of fun, a lot of many good laughs. Hopefully I'll share some memories.
There were so many. Mm-hmm. Even just you mentioning the housekeeping thing, I had that loaded in the back of my head.
Yeah,
that was your nickname whenever we saw.
Yeah, you. Housekeeping. Yeah, that was, nobody actually knew my real name of that summer. It was just,
a lot of people didn't. No,
no.
I could be at the top of the hill, and people down at the pool could just shout housekeeping, and that was pretty much it. Yeah,
That was like my first year, and it was a scared 10-year-old, and I'm like, if his name is housekeeping, I'm going with it. I literally don't know what camp is.
Hold up a second.
What?
If I couldn't feel any older, there it is.
And where are you joining us from, Corey?
I am joining you from my still relatively new house in Tennessee. My wife and I moved down here at the end of the summer, and we're kind of setting up shop here, and this is going to be our forever home. We think, because after moving from New York to Tennessee, we never want to move again.
No.
It was all of the adjectives that aren't happy and exciting. that mm-hmm. you could think of. And I did it before, after college. This was a complete, like, next chapter of my life sort of move.
That's amazing.
But I'm talking to you live from my kitchen in Tennessee.
Nice. It is a very nice looking kitchen.
Thank you. The pantry's a bit out of sorts, but thank you very much.
If you have an organized pantry, I'm convinced you don't live there.
Oh, then I definitely live here because it's not organized, with the exception of my spice rack. Everything else is in.
Okay. Dave, where are you calling in from?
Yeah, I'm joining you from the northwest of England, a city called Preston. I'm a proud Prestonian. Me and my wife live here, and we have done for the last few years, after spending almost a decade living just on the outskirts of London for work. We decided to move back a few years ago and essentially raise our family, because both of us are from the same town. So it made sense for us to come back with all grandmas and granddads and aunties and uncles for the kids. So yeah, I'm coming to you live from my kind of makeshift office, which is essentially a spare room in our house in Preston.
Oh, that's so cool. Dave, for those of you who don't know, actually met his wife through camp.
That's right. Yeah, we knew each other before camp, but it was kind of one of those things where we kind of knew each other. We'd not really started dating or anything. We kind of said hello. She told me all about camp. So Kate actually came in 2004. Mm. She came there and had an amazing summer. And we met after she'd been to camp. And she told me all about camp and said it was amazing. And I was at university then, and I finished my first year at university, and I was looking to do the kind of summer experience. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, you should definitely come to this camp. Now, looking back, I don't know whether she had an ulterior motive at that point. But yeah, that was it. I said, okay. She showed me the video. Back in those days, there was no iPhones or anything like that. She had a camcorder, and she kind of uploaded loads of videos onto her desktop computer. And she kind of scrolling through these videos. It looked amazing. And obviously she told me what it's all about and about all the campers. I think I went to a meet and greet with Dave when he was over here in the UK recruiting. And I met him at a recruitment fair and had a good chat with him. And yeah, after that, you know, the rest is history, as they say.
I have to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you say she showed you videos from her time over here, what in the world was that like, and what did you see?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I was chatting to her before I came on this call, and we were trying to, you know, reminisce and talk about what things life was like back in those days. She kind of showed me, like, they used to set up in the old, I mean, camp's changed a lot since those times.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
In the old kind of main, I guess, main hall just off the kitchen, and they kind of set up like a big wrestling ring on one night, and they used to have all the WrestleMania nights. She showed me a video of that, which looked like utter carnage, but like a whole lot of fun as well. So yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You said that Katie showed up, what, 2004?
Yeah, 2004, yeah.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the trio of years that were just unmatched, 04, 05, 06. I asked whoever the activities director was at the time, and I can't remember her name, and if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I wanted to be involved in the wrestling thing because for the people at home, I'm wearing a WWE shirt right now. Like,
oh yeah,
wrestling's a big, big thing for me. So when I heard that they were going to do that, I was like, I got to do something. I'll push buttons. I'll announce people. Like, I just want to do a thing with wrestling, please. So we put this whole bit together where Katie was the ring announcer or the...
Yeah, I think she was a ring announcer in the first year.
Yeah.
And the second year, I think she was actually a wrestler in 2005. Yeah.
We did this whole bit where I was defending her honor for some reason. And I jumped in the ring and I started yelling at somebody. And I had one of those big orange, like, baseball bats. And we just pretend like we did a wrestling bit. Like I went in there and I was like, you will not talk to her like that. Boom. And I elbow dropped somebody and it was a whole thing. And there was a three count at that wrestling event. And it was, yeah. If that's the one that you saw, A, I apologize. And B, yeah. I could see where that would hook you, because that was one of the best nights, period.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing that video and seeing footage of Scotty actually playing basketball as well. Like that blew me away.
Yeah.
And I just thought, God, I need to go and kind of see this in real life, basically. Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm remembering, Scott was the one that counted the three that night, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Which was even cooler now that I'm thinking about it. But being there and just experiencing the bond and the love and the positive energy that place just emits out into the universe.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like us typical Brits are maybe not like, and I'm going to stereotype here, so forgive me. You know, we're probably not as gung-ho as some of our American friends. But Kate came back and she was just talking about camp all the time, camp. And it was like American Pie, this one time at band camp. That, you know, that was exactly it. And I just won't shut up about it. So like, it's just constant. Once this story, that story, another story, this one time, this other time. And I just remember kind of thinking, God, like, so many things to cram into what is essentially what 9 weeks, I think, for us counsellors. It was just crazy. So that's when I thought, well, I need
it's
to find out.
It's funny that you mentioned story after story, because even being out of camp as a camper since 2006, without really noticing, you can kind of connect almost anything to a camp story if you've been there long enough.
Oh, 1,000%.
Because so many things, like you just said, get crammed into either a 3-week period or a 6-week period, or 1 week. And even if you're just there once, you can just connect the dots back to those memories and those moments. And that's what I think is so amazing about that place, is that it truly is a place that is a launching pad for so many of us, counselors and campers alike.
Yeah, I would definitely say that, counselors and campers. Like, you know, it sounds really cheesy, but I think it does have such a profound impact on a lot of people's lives. It certainly changed my perspective on life. So yeah, it's a very special place, and I'm sure it's got a special place in many people's hearts.
I mean, like without going there, I would have never known that there were other people like me. Like I grew up a disabled person, and my life up to that point was as normal as my parents and I had made it. But in the back of my head, I was always thinking like, where are all the other people that walk like me? Where are all the other people that feel like me? Like, am I on an island by myself floating through space? And then one day my doctor suggested that we go there. And going there for the first time, I was excited, but I was also terrified.
What year was your first year, Corey?
The summer of 1997. And that is where I begin to date myself.
Was 3.
Okay, I'm done. Good night, everybody. That's it. My very first conscious memory of camp, my parents had left. I had finally stopped crying. And a counselor by the name of Paul, and Paul, if you're out there and you somehow listen to this, you are the very first memory that I have. And I will never forget this. We were sitting under the tree. And you know those little things that you throw in the air and they kind of spin around like little propellers?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you split them at the end, you could stick them to your nose?
Yes.
That's what we did. Paul and I sat under that tree and he taught me how to stick them to my nose and throw them in the air and watch them fall like a little propeller. And it calmed me down and I will never, ever forget it. And from that moment on,
you were hooked.
I was there. I was in that space. And I was meeting all of these kids and all of these people that not only were like me, but they understood me. And at 7 years old, I didn't really know how important that was. And then when Dave showed up, the doors got blown off. And that was the year that everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember your entrance in 2005? Do you remember how you entered camp? Because I have a vivid memory of how the entrance that you made.
Now, Thank you for bringing that up. I don't remember exactly how it went down.
Yeah,
but it
I can tell you. I can tell you because I do. So I guess I've got to set the scene a little bit. So from my perspective, obviously, I think like Corey said earlier, you know, camp is a place where, you know, kids can go and feel, you know, feel quote unquote normal, but everyone else is the same. And you feel a sense of belonging. For me, it was very different. You know, I grew up as, you know, just an average person. And the first time that camp experience opened my eyes and introduced me to a lot of people who had these disabilities or and conditions and but just were just normal. Like it was the weirdest thing from my perspective.
Was this at the beginning of the summer? Like toward the beginning?
Yeah. So you obviously you go through the training and whatnot and they tell you all the stories, but I think the whole journey overall was just very much like an eye opener for me personally. Because, you know, I saw some amazing things and saw things where I just never thought I would, basically. And it just changed my perspective because I come from a small town in the Northwest. I'd never experienced anything like this before, or been exposed to anybody with any of these conditions. You know, the whole thing to me was just like a different place. I think it was the first week. So you go through all your training and, you know, you're ready. By this point, you're excited for the kids to arrive. You know, you want to get going. You've heard so many stories, you know, you've had returning counselors who are there telling you their stories. So you're ready to get going. And so you've got a few kids who arrive and, you know, everyone's kind of getting to know each other in the early days. And then, yeah, this car comes in at the end of the drive. And as you know, there's that big, long driveway up the hill. Mm-hmm. And it was a convertible car. And Corey is, well, I didn't know him at that point, but he was sat on the back seat, but not in the back seat, like on the back of the car, Tunes were blurring, like you said. I don't know the song. I can't remember the song, but the music was loud. And he came riding up this hill with his flag above his head, with his arms outstretched above his head, and his flag trailing off behind him. And I just remember looking and going, "Who is this kid?" he screeched up the hill and like pulled in. God, he's high fiving everyone. Everyone's going. And I was like, "Oh, this is camp life. This is what it's like." Yeah, it was a very good entrance, definitely.
And that was the moment you were hooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my uncle's Firebird convertible that I asked to borrow. Because of course you did. Yes, because there was something about it that I thought I needed to do. And yeah, that was the whole point, was to make people go, "What in the world is going on?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a bit for me because I felt so comfortable. But it was also a bit for everybody else because I wanted the kids to know it's okay to do things like this. You can be yourself here. And indirectly, it was also for the staff as well because they don't know what's coming. And then something like that happens and it's like, oh, okay, this is not like, let's make s'mores around a campfire and tell ghosts.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, that was exactly it. And I remember thinking, I need to go and find out who this kid is. Like, I need to go and speak to this kid and find out what's his story. Like, it takes some balls to do that. I was impressed.
I mean, one of my core memories with you, Corey, was you doing... it's basically the old version of the ice bucket challenge where you sat in a tub of ice for, I guess, like trying to make a record. That was a core memory for me.
Camp was a place where I could just be. And my goal, and it still is a goal even now, is to perform magic in front of people. Dave and I started getting real close. Me and him and Scotty and Alfonso and a couple of the other guys. And I just started coming up with these ridiculous ideas. I was just looking through all these magic books and trying to figure out what can I do that's going to make a statement. And eventually it landed on, I'm going to fill a box with water and ice. And I'm going to shackle myself together and just give myself, let's say, 3 minutes to get out. So I did what any teenager would do at the time. I went to people that I thought were really cool and said, "I have this idea. What do you think?" And David, the camp director, was he the director at the time? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. He was like, that's a great idea. Just don't hurt yourself. And I was like, okay. So then I went to the next person that I thought could help me in this endeavor, and that would be David. And I said, hey, I know that you're into the whole maintenance thing on camp and you have access to all these things. Is it a possibility to come up with a vessel in which that I could do this thing? And it took us, what, like a week?
Yeah,
to come up with this thing.
It took about a week, because at first you were kind of talking about, you know, maybe I could be in like a coffin or something. I think one of the suggestions was, I'd be in a coffin, you could tie me in chains, you could bury me. And we're like, no, we're not doing that.
I knew right away that that was not a good move.
Yeah.
But again, throwing things at the wall, trying to figure out what.
So we're like, okay, we can do a wooden box. And then you were like, well, I'd like to fill it with, you know, ice cold water. So like, okay, we need to figure out how we can line it and things like that. So you were in the garage, and I was like measuring you so I could build the box.
I specifically remember that day. We were down on the tennis court and you were like, I have an idea. And we ran up the hill and we had measuring tapes and duct tape and garbage bags we lined this whole thing, and it was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. Did it have a lid? I don't think it had a lid, did it?
No, it did not have a lid, simply because A, that was a bit too morbid.
Yeah.
And B, I wasn't confident enough in my skills as a performer at the time to navigate chains, rope, water, ice, and an actual lid.
Yeah.
So eventually it ended up just being people ice holding sheet over the top of it.
You were good. I remember in the lead up to it, because obviously we're trying to practice it, and for my worry was that what if you don't get out of the change? So I remember I used to chain you, even just like stood up, and you'd be like, I don't know, doing your magic basically. The chains would just drop off, and I'm like, okay, well, he's obviously got that part down. Like, he knows what he's doing with that.
His counselor brain kicked in.
That was one of my, you know, longest standing memories of camp. And I mean, there are many, but that one in particular, I look back now and think, that was crazy. I think I don't know how we concocted that.
God bless
Dave Billingham for allowing us to do that.
I have to give Dave Billingham a huge shout out because I'm a camper at his camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legit trying to do something that on paper is incredibly stupid. but he also believed in me enough to let me do it.
Yeah, 100%.
That is one of my favorite camp memories, because that made me realize, like, I can do this.
It's interesting, Kiara, that you said that was one of your kind of first vivid memories of camp.
Yeah. What was going through your head while that was going down?
This is like one of my first or second years, right? And I'm like very new to camp, and like I went to Viscardi, and so I have heard camp stories, but I didn't know of Corey Martin's stories. I'm like, oh, a magician. I like magicians, and this is a disabled magician. Sign me up. Like, hello. And then he's like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, bury myself in a bucket of ice. I'm like, nope, not for me. But, you know, and he's like, you know, doing his whole, you know, theatrics bit. I'm like, there's no way he's actually chained himself. Like, there's no way. He's like, how is this being allowed? Like, now working here, I don't know how that was allowed. And like, now hearing Dave, like, you know, actually practiced it with you and like, you know, made sure of your skills in that. But like, how?
Yeah,
I honestly don't know. Because like we talked about before we hit record, camp is so different now from what it was then. And there were so many other things that doesn't happen anymore for very specific reasons. No. And I was there for a lot of those reasons.
Very good reasons as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like people, you know, the counselors, Dave included, they are some of the most incredible human beings on the face of the earth, simply because they're essentially helping us find ourselves. Without them, camp wouldn't be what it is, what it was, what it is.
What else were some of your favorite memories, Dave?
Well, I mean, the obvious one is Color War. Love Color War. Absolutely love Color War. A lot of my memories are when we were either hanging out just like around the camp. I mean, in my first year, the bunks in camp, they were old. They are nothing to what they are now.
Nope.
A lot of my kind of favorite memories are, you know, hanging out, playing chess with Matt Lindblad, amazing chess player. You know, watching Scotty playing basketball with, was it Saquon? Yep.
Yes, yeah, it was.
Down on the course. That was good. Yeah, I think it was 2009. We had a dodgeball tournament for counselors. We played different games, and so we had the kitchen team. I'm a big fan of Dodgeball the movie as well. So I was Paddy, the coach, and the tennis ball machine, the fire tennis ball. So as part of training. But for the kitchen team, I'd have like the five members of the kitchen team all lined up, and I was sat behind the tennis ball, firing tennis balls at them, getting them to dodge the tennis balls in training matches for the big event. And needless to say, we won the competition between the staff and the counselors. But you know, that just doing things like that on your lunch break is just good fun, basically.
Yeah.
It can get real wild. And jumping back to what Dave said earlier about Color War, it got heated, like really heated. And when we put that paint on our faces, it was like we were legit going out there and going to war. Like, it got intense.
Yeah, I love Color War.
We knew it was coming, but we just never knew when it was coming. And then all of a sudden, one morning during breakfast, somebody would dress up in, you know, war paint and whatever, and run through the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do it three times before it was official. Mm-hmm. And when that third one hit, the place went
erupted. People banging on the table.
People were banging on it. Napkins were being thrown in the air. You're using utensils as drumsticks. And then for the next day and a half, it was like, I don't care if you're my brother. I don't care if you're my girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. If you're on the opposite team, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I remember they used to do like trick days too, where they would have the people running across the room and just do the running one time. And you would like, oh, is this the day that it's Color War? Oh no, they only did it once. So yeah,
they'd fake you out.
For like 2 weeks. So you really never knew when it was Color War.
That's another thing that camp was so good at. It was good at making you feel. It was good at making you feel things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so wild to think that, like, when you come to SWA for the first time, you really are just immersed in family. And we have, you know, sometimes we have staff listen to this, and like, I don't know what your experience was like before you started, Dave. Before Katie told you about camp, but like, you don't know what to expect. And like, you, especially if you're not from America where there aren't many camps around, like, what's that like?
I have no idea what to expect. I mean, Katie had told me a lot and I'd seen some videos, but even that did not prepare me for what camp life would be like. It is so intense. I mean, you meet people from not just from America, from all over the world. And all over America, all different walks of life, you know, rich, poor, whatever. And you're all kind of in this melting pot, and it's so intense. But Corey said it something earlier. It gives you that kind of comfortable space to learn about yourself almost. And he mentioned about that for campers. I'd say that goes the same way for counselors, you know. It gave me a place where I could truly be myself. I had no preconceptions. I went there, nobody knew who I was. I didn't know anybody else. And it allowed me, in a way, to be my true self, because nobody could say, well, that's not Dave. He doesn't behave like that. Nobody knew what I behaved like. So I could just 100% just relax and let all my, I don't know, goofiness or craziness or whatever it is, just come out and be. And yeah, that's why from my perspective, it holds such an amazing place, because that was the one place for the first time. I mean, I was I was 25 when I went, so I was quite old because I went to university quite late. For me, that was the first time I could actually be my true self. It was, you know, an amazing experience. That's why I went back two more times.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I mean, there's so many people that like this place.
And impacts. We still see like a lot of counselors I'm still in touch with now in the UK. You know, we have get-togethers of our own. How long is it? Like 20 years, almost 20 years on. And we're still getting through.
No, it isn't. Is it really? There's so many people, even if it's just a, hey, how you doing? But remember that time we did this stupid thing and how much fun it was? Without any of those people, you know, my life would be considerably different. So whoever was there, whoever's listening to this, I love you. And thank you for everything that we shared together and all those memories.
What was the camp secret that stuck with you?
Something that David Billingham said to me once was, because I was, you know, I was like, oh, I'm never leaving camp. Like, I'm going to be here forever, you know. And he goes, I would love that for you, but I also know how much this place means to you. And if we pull the curtain back too much, it might not have that same impact. Mm-hmm. And at first, I'll be 100% transparent. I was very upset by that because I was like, oh, you don't want me to be here forever. But then I thought about what he said and it really rings true. Sometimes you don't want to know. It's like magic. Sometimes you don't want to know the secrets because it will take away the beauty and the mystery of it. And even though I know a few things, because I've worked a couple of weekends there, even just doing that was both eye-opening and kind of like, okay, I get what he meant. I get what he meant. And David, if I'm sure you're going to hear this, thank you for what you said to me that day, because even though I know a handful of things, it still is that beautiful, magical place that will never fade away.
Yeah, I think for me, we were pretty up. I mean, I know we, like Corey said, there's things that you do to try and create the magic. No, we didn't really have any huge secrets as to the way we operated. We were quite honest and open. Every now and again, you might go and sneak a quick nap, power nap in, you know, but anything outside of that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, to your point, Corey, like I'm glad that I had a few years out of camp to adult before I came to work here. The memories that I've had as a camper will always stay with me, and there were some of the things that have shaped who I am today. But I think the magic of camp for me now is just different. Now I'm, you know, part of the team that helps put on that magic for the kids now, and I love what I do, and I love that I am creating that magic. But it is a different point of view, and it's a very different lens of camp than it is for as a camper. But I love both aspects, but it's just different. Also, in 2005, it was just different than it is in 2022.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to take a moment to thank you, not just for putting this together, but for what you're doing. And you just said it. You're still creating that magic for people. And I want camp to live forever. And if you're part of it, if Dave's part of it, if David Billingham is part of it, if I'm part of it, whoever it is, creating that magic for these kids and like Dave said earlier, the staff too, that's what this place is about. Like it is magic. If magic truly existed, this is the purest form of it, because you're showing these kids that they're not alone. Showing these kids that it's okay to be this way, and you're letting everybody know, like, you can be yourself here, and there are not many places even now that are like this. So thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you've done, and everything that you're going to do, because this camp Southampton Fresh Air Home needs to live forever. And
I do appreciate that, Corey. Thank you very much.
Amazing.
I've thought in the past, like, I would love now to be in a position where, like, I wish I could just take the summer off and go back to camp and work at camp again for a summer. It'd be like my dream summer, basically, just to kind of relive it all. I would love the opportunity to do that again.
we've been through memory lane, and I kind of want to pick your brains on what your perspective has been like about people with disabilities after you've been out of SFA for a few years.
Thank you for being generous.
After your first year at SFA, Dave, how did your perspective about disability and the disability community change?
Oof, I think for me, it just opened my eyes completely. I'd lived in a world, blinkered, where if I saw somebody with disabilities, it was almost like you treated them differently straight away, subconsciously. Even if you didn't mean to, and everything was, you know, coming from the nicest and the kindest of places, you'd already had these preconceptions formed. And SFA just demolished all those preconceptions, like 100%, knocked everything back and just reset everything. And all of a sudden, and it sounds corny and cheesy, but I stopped seeing the disability. I just saw an annoying teenager, or somebody who's upset, or somebody's having a good time, or somebody who's really good at sports. You know, like, I think Scotty for me had a real big impact on me, because he just opened my eyes to a better attitude towards life. And again, it sounds quite grandiose, but it really did. But yeah, so when I came back from camp the first time, I was what Kate was to me when she came back. I was that person, but to all my friends, telling them, "Oh, this, you should see this. This kid does this. This kid does that. It's amazing. We did this. We did that. We did Color War. We did WrestleMania. I put a kid in a box of ice and wrapped him in chains." You know, it was just, honestly, I just stopped talking about the disabilities and started talking about the kids. And since then, the whole approach I have with anybody with any kind of disability now, don't see the disability. I just I go over and talk to them. Again, it's the classic thing. Sometimes you're there with somebody might have a carer or a help or whatever. So the first thing that, you know, an able-bodied person does is go over and speak to the other able-bodied person and speak to them. I just do not do that now, straight away. It just doesn't even bother. It's just, if they're in a wheelchair, I'll sit down. You know, it's that whole thing that you learn about getting on eye level, speaking to them, not rushing them as well. You know, sometimes if somebody's got difficulties with speech, people trying to finish their sentences because it's making them feel uncomfortable, just sit back and let them speak, let them do their thing. Like, you know, it's just, it taught me so much. And so, yeah, I think it just changed my whole perspective on that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Corey, what was your first year? I mean, you have a disability, so, you know, the perspective was a little bit different, but what was your first year like once you went back into the reality?
I want to go back.
Right.
It didn't really hit me, the impact of camp, until I was old enough to really understand it. Like Dave said, you know, we just want to be talked to as people. And up to that point, I didn't think of or know of anybody else, with few exceptions, because there were a couple of people that I went to school with that did have disabilities. And I was like, oh, you and I are similar, let's hang out. But I didn't really know of a place where I could go to just be me. Mm-hmm. And SFA allowed that for me. It changed my perspective of I'm not alone on this planet. Because I really did feel, and I'm sure a lot of kids that are listening to this might feel, oh, it's just me against all these other people that don't understand why I'm like this, or why I move like this, or speak like this. But you're not alone. Like, there are other people like you out there. And SFA allowed me to see and meet and become friends with and love all of those people, especially when you're very, very young, because you don't know. And then having these older, I guess, kids being counselors, just accepting you for you, like Dave was saying, like, you're just you. We as disabled people don't have that a lot when you're younger. It's, they always talk to you like this, and they get really close to you, and it's like, oh, how are you? Just talk to us, you know? We may move a little differently than you. We may talk a little differently than you. We may make weird sounds differently than you, but we're just people, and there are people out there that love and accept me for who I am. And that's part of the reason why the staff there, whether it's David Billingham and the office staff or the counselors or whoever it is, you are in our space and you've accepted us and you've loved us. And it has had such a profound impact on so many people. So to anyone that was there working, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with Corey that the one thing I came out of camp and that I knew straight away I wanted to go back. It was a very strong feeling. But yeah, I mean, the thing for me as well is that they're teenagers. You know, I was in the older boys group, so dealing with like, you know, 13 to 16, 17 year olds and 15 to 17, teenagers are manipulative. You know, if they think they can get one over on you, they will try and get one over on you. And you soon learn that because they play up to the fact if they might have a disability, but oh yeah, I can't do this. But hang on a minute, I'm being played for a sucker here, right? Right, straight away, like what is going on? And that's what made me realize, like, some of them can be difficult and just teenagers at the end of the day.
There were so many times where the group of us, we were difficult because we were still, like, I keep going back to it. We're just trying to figure out who we were.
If you put a group of teenagers, any teenagers together like that, they're always going to be trouble, right? You know, it's just the way it is.
I want to ask you, Dave, like you mentioned earlier the orientation week for staff. And we do kind of encourage new staff to listen to this podcast. So I would say, I would ask you what in that week was kind of most impactful for you once that first day of camp came around?
Well, that's a really good question. I think the one thing, the key message, and I remember Dave Billingham driving this home as well, and we've just touched upon it now, really. It is just, you know, these are just kids. They are just kids and they will get homesick. You know, some of them are coming for the first time, so they'll be worried. Some of them have been here for years, so they'll fit right in. And so you have to treat them like kids. Yeah, look out for their safety and their welfare, but at the end of the day, they're just kids. And they tell you all about that. And obviously they take you through all the orientation about how to care for them and, you know, what to look out for and et cetera, et cetera. But it's that ultimate message of they are just kids. And sometimes they'll be grumpy teenagers because of, again, or sometimes they'll just be scared kids who are spending the first time away from home for a week, perhaps just away from home. And so they're in a new environment. They don't know that many people. So you've got to, you know, have some empathy. It probably taught me a lot of empathy. My wife would argue that I still probably have more empathy to share than I should, but it certainly was put me on the right path for sure.
I mean, now I think it's cool that I work here because during the orientation week, I let every counselor or every staff member come into a room and I let them ask me whatever question that they have, like any question you could ever, they would have ever thought about disability, because I'm an open book. Like I'm pretty unfiltered, like once you know me, and I am not afraid to answer difficult questions. Even the questions that make people uncomfortable, like I make everyone ask a question, and sometimes it's simple things like, you know, how do you manage pain, or sometimes it's relationship questions, and sometimes it's more than that, you know, because it's just, you know, you guys starting off, staff members or, you know, our core demographic are 18, 19, 20 year olds who are also navigating relationships and want to know what the kids have gone through with that and what their experience have been like. And I think that's been really helpful for our staff to kind of, you know, first day of first session is always awkward, but I think it helps them be a little less awkward.
I think that would have been amazing, you know, to have that somebody who you could go and speak to and ask those difficult questions, because, you know, we didn't have anybody like that. We just had other counselors that had been there before, and we would ask, you know, some questions as to how they cope with it. But you're right, you know, they were still young themselves, you know, majority of counselors 19 to 23. Like I say, I was one of the older ones. But yeah, it's, mm-hmm. it's really good. I think that you've got that policy. I do think that's good.
Yeah, that's great to know, especially because, like you said, a lot of staff that come in as new staff, they might not have ever had been exposed to somebody with a disability.
Nope. Before.
So the fact that you're able to be that open book for them is amazing.
And I remember staff getting then to like 2 or 3 days in and be like, nope, this is not for me. I'm going.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's happened a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not easy. I mean, there are folks that go to camp. I remember back when I went, there were folks like me who needed minimal, you know, assistance with things, if at all. And then there are people that need help with legitimately every single aspect of their day. And that's not an easy thing to be a part of, even with a big group of people, especially with a big group of people. So I give you, Kiara, a lot of credit being that open book and, you know, to all the staff that have done it and are going to do it. Thank you, because it's definitely an intense experience.
It is intense. It's intense, and it can be tough at times. But I think, you know, we spent almost 90 minutes now talking about the good times, and the good times far outweigh the one or two tough times that there might be. You forget about the lack of sleep. You forget about how tired you are. Mm-hmm. You know, all that just pales into insignificance. And what you remember is laughing and just generally feeling good about yourself and having a good time, being around some incredible people, and making like long-term life memories that will stay with you forever, really. That's why it's such a special place.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like anytime I'm having a difficult day at work, I'm just like, during the summer, I'll just go out to the campers and just like talk to them about, you know, random stuff. And they'll just immediately make me laugh. I'm like, okay, I'm good now. I can go back.
Yeah.
You know, going up to the youngers, I'm like, give me a joke.
Make me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part of the magic. Like they just want that acceptance and they just want the opportunity to make someone laugh. And whether you've been here, you know, just a few minutes or several years, like you get that magic really quickly.
Yeah.
Or you don't, and you go home early, but that's okay.
Sometimes it's not for everybody. And as amazing as it was for me, and as amazing as it was for Dave and a bunch of others, there are a handful of folks that it just didn't fit with. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, we touched upon it a little bit, but how has for you, Corey, being a camper, and for you, Dave, working here, impacted your life now?
It's everything. It really is. I mean, every single aspect of my life now has some part of it that has been tied back to camp, whether it's my confidence or sometimes lack thereof, talking to new people, introducing myself and speaking as a disabled person. Like, I never would have been able to go up to someone and be like, yeah, you know, you might notice that I walk a little funny, but everything's cool. Like, I wouldn't have been able to be that casual about it if it wasn't for camp. Like, I wouldn't know how to have that conversation with somebody.
Yeah, I think for me, I can look back and think there's probably a few turning points in my life where I can pinpoint where my life is taken a different direction and it's gone off. And you know, those summers at camp were truly some of the happiest memories I've ever had. They were almost living the best version of me at times as well, because it is you know, it's a finite amount of time, because everyone's there all at once. You don't get that outside world pressure. You get the intense pressure of camp, but you're in your own bubble. But it allows you, because it is that supportive environment, it allows you to be your true self. And I look back now, and without all the different influences that you get from the world and, you know, perceptions of other people of how you should behave in certain scenarios. And, you know, even mealtimes, you know, you used to have food fights at mealtimes. I mean, when would you ever do that, like, in real life? Like, somebody picked up food and just started throwing food at you. You go crazy. Whereas it's why you could just be like, hey, food fight, woo!
Right, or just you start banging on tables.
Yeah,
and singing.
Exactly. Yeah,
you can just do it. You could just do it, whether it worked or it didn't. You could just
So I think for me, just carrying that with me, and it kind of gave me the view and the outlook and the confidence to be myself more. I think at that point, I've not really realized I had all these different sides to my personality. So I kind of carried that through. And now I always try and encourage everybody to try and be a little bit more about their true self as well. So, you know, people are allowed to come there and be whoever they want, and it was fine. I'd like to carry a little bit of that with me as much as I can. It just opened my eyes. It opened my eyes to a world I didn't know existed. In my own naivety, I just didn't know people out there had some of the challenges that people faced, and I was just oblivious, blissfully unaware of it. And it just opened my eyes and made me realize that, wow, there are some incredible people out there, and you know, I'm just an average Joe compared to some of the things that these people have to go through. So it's a great place.
Yeah. I mean, you guys asked me earlier, like, what the podcast starting process was like. And also, just this podcast is just my opportunity to, like, have these conversations with people that I grew up with and just people that I respected a lot. And just, yeah, it's just a really good opportunity to have good conversations with people, and, like, the general public too needs to hear, honestly.
I agree. I completely agree.
I mean, I guess to round this all up, I want to ask each of you what final message you want to give the audience that may be listening to this.
If it was a new counselor, I would say buckle up, because you're in for the ride of your life. But you'll have an amazing time, and it will genuinely leave a lasting impact on you for the better. To existing counselors who I'd spent time with over the years, we had a blast in my early years. If it was to counselors that I've spent time working with, then I hope you're all keeping very well. Everyone's safe and happy. I'm glad that you were part of my years at camp, because you made it a good experience.
Just thank you to everybody, campers, counselors, staff, whoever you were. You don't realize how much you mean to me and to everybody that has stepped foot on those grounds. You're an amazing group of people. Camp is beautiful. And I hope that people listening to this can reminisce about their times there. I hope that new people that have just started can kind of get a better understanding of how important and wonderful and amazing this place is. Mm-hmm. So to all staff and campers, current, present, upcoming, past, just remember how special this place is, because once you're out, you'll see it in a different light. But always remember that while you're there, cherish every single second of it, because when you're not there anymore, it's different. So it's been a heck of a ride. Everybody deserves to have a moment like that. And if you can have a moment like that at this place, you are one of the luckiest people on this planet.
Yeah, you form such strong bonds with people that you might only spend a short amount of time with. Corey and I are case in point. You know, we in our entire lifespans, we've spent a really small amount of time together, but I have a very strong bond with Corey. You know, I've only actually probably been in the room with him for, you know, less than a few months. It's crazy.
Yeah, and even doing this with you, it's like we haven't lost.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like I just saw you. It's like I just saw you last week, and it's like, hey, man, what's up?
I know. It's crazy.
That place just has this magic to it, and it's incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I can't put it better myself. Yeah, I just want to thank you both for an amazing conversation. You both have great perspectives on everything, and I just want to thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Dave, it was wonderful getting to talk to you, bud.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure speaking to both of you and taking a trip down memory lane. I mean, yeah, 100%. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.